What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
This week we are looking at Te Ture Whenua Māori Bill. Tony Love of the Te Atiawa Dissent works for the Māori Law Review, focusing particularly on legal issues regarding Māori land. We got in touch with her to explain the ins and outs of the bill, as well as discuss the controversy around the reforms that were proposed by, when the National Party was in government. And Lillian started by asking what the bill actually is.
Te Ture Whenua Māori is a bill that was introduced in 2015 to basically reform the current piece of legislation, which is the Te Ture Whenua Māori Act. The review was actually started in 2012, but in 2015 they put out their first exposure draft, and then in 2016 it was introduced into Parliament, and it's kind of that's where it's sitting at the moment. It hasn't obviously gone through into law.
What was the original act designed to do?
So there's a dual kaupapa. That's often what it's referred to. So essentially focusing on retention of Māori land in Māori hands, and also related to that is this idea of tēnā rangatiratanga over Māori land. And then the second kaupapa was to do with utilisation of land, so to help enable Māori landowners to utilise their land for economic purposes.
Why was it so important? Why is it necessary to have something like that?
I guess because historical disenfranchisement, all the legislation previously had, rather than kept land within Māori hands, had sought to remove it and had done so effectively.
And so with the reforms, what will that change in terms of that kaupapa, that underlying kaupapa?
So the reforms didn't really seek to change that kaupapa. Particularly the kaupapa of retention is still incredibly important. But there was beginning to be this view that the current piece of legislation was focusing on retention at the expense of utilisation of land. So retention of land in Māori landowners' hands, as opposed to but them being able to utilise it more effectively. So it was seen sort of as impeding utilisation, and this was mainly thought to be the Māori Land Court being, because the Māori Land Court has a huge role within the current Te Ture Whenua Māori Act, in the sense that they have to confirm a lot of things, a lot of decisions have to go through the court, and so there was this view that it was impeding utilisation decisions at the expense of retention. So the new piece of legislation was meant to find more of a balance in that dual kaupapa.
So with retention, does that mean you basically just can't use the land, it's just there?
No, retention doesn't mean that you can't use the land. They just wanted to make sure that there were safeguards in place so that the land wouldn't be sold too easily or wouldn't end up out of the owner's hands. So for example, if you put a long-term lease over the land, then that would result in the land not being able to be used, depending on the nature of the lease, by Māori landowners. So it was just making sure that those safeguards were in place to ensure that the land could be used for whatever the owners want to seek to use it for. And it's important, I think, to recognise that some Māori landowners want utilisation, they want economic development, but there are also some, which I think is what led to a lot of the controversy or the fact that some were in support of the bill and some quite opposed, is that for some, they don't necessarily want to economically develop their land. That's not an aspiration that they might have, and that should be their decision, essentially.
So can you just explain a little bit more about that sort of backlash or the controversy around it? Why were people against it?
So I think a lot of people felt that it was a National Party agenda, even though it was headed, or even though it was being driven by the Māori Party, it was essentially a national prerogative. And so there was a lot of dissent or opposition, because they thought that it was basically driving a corporate agenda. And largely quite reminiscent of previous policies that were trying to push land into production, Māori land into production. And that's all well and good if you want that, but to have that, to feel like that's being imposed on you, is reminiscent of the past, which is what eventually led to land being taken. And also maybe that's not exactly what you want. And so a lot of people were really upset. And there were a number of provisions, particularly in the early draft, so the first exposure draft that was released in 2015, there were some problematic provisions in that that weren't explained very well, and they looked like they could potentially facilitate loss of land. Not intentionally, like I think it's important to recognise the context. Like historically, legislation was set up and it was removed because that was the agenda of the day. Land was being removed from Indigenous peoples, and in this case, Māori in New Zealand. So, but today, I would hope that we're way beyond that. But because of the nature of the way that the reforms were being pushed and because of the underlying rhetoric that was going along with it, it raised a lot of fears that this would eventually result in more loss of land. And so that resulted in quite heavy opposition.
It was valid opposition, like you've explained. What is the sort of next step? Like you say, it's not gone through yet. Have these kind of provisions been ironed out a bit more, or has there been more explanations around the new bill?
Yeah, I don't think that there's been wide-scale explanation publicly, but I ended up looking at it for my... I ended up getting a scholarship for Te Puni Kōkiri, and as part of that, I looked in detail at the bill and I got to talk to the key technical advisor, and he explained a lot of the rationale behind some of the provisions. Now, that kind of alleviated some of my concern about some provisions that I thought were potentially problematic, and eventually that sort of stuff also came out in the Waitangi Tribunal inquiry. And post that, a number of the recommendations that were made to change certain aspects, a number of recommendations were made to change certain aspects of the bill to alleviate those concerns, I guess, which included things like making sure that the Māori Land Court has a last-minute confirmation role to ensure that, you know, nothing is going wrong, or that this sort of land is, like, the decision being made is a good one, which is very similar to what we have now. There was also a regime called the Managing Kaiwhakariti, which was in the initial piece of legislation, and that was removed entirely because there was such kind of, you know, aversion to that regime because it was reminiscent of historical regimes when I looked at it. And I don't think it was necessarily intended to do that, but it was really interesting for me when I looked at the history of reform with respect to Māori land, that there were certain things in the legislation that kind of triggered those fears because it could look essentially like another Crown policy. So again, trying to disclaim that I don't think that that was what was intended. It was just that I think it's really important to remember the historical context. You can't think about something in isolation now, particularly when there's hundreds of years of grievance. And so the bill in the current form, I think, definitely dealt with a number of the concerns that were raised, particularly in that first draft, and that came through over the course of the submissions and over the course of the review. Currently, the bill has made it through it's in part six of the bill, like midway through part six at the Committee of the Whole House. And I've been kind of every now and then going on and seeing what's happening, because Labor was very opposed to the bill. They just did not want it, and there has been some sort of media information or some, you know, kind of articles and things like that that suggest that might be changing. So I'm not really sure what's happening with it. I haven't seen whether it's been picked up by Labor and carried over into this government, though I could probably should have checked that.
Do you want to add anything else?
I think one thing that I found really interesting in relation when I started looking at more detail, because I remember being really unsure. I looked at this piece of legislation for about 3 years and I didn't know how I felt about it, and it wasn't until I looked at the historical reform in relation to Māori land that I started to see some clear parallels, right? The attempts, or what they're trying to achieve with this reform, is no different from what they've tried to achieve in the past, starting at about, I think, 1998, there was a review initiated, and then there was a review initiated in 2005. And again, a lot of these reviews focused on trying to increase utilisation of Māori land and how best to overcome whatever problems that there might be. And all of these reviews said that we need to assess the regulatory environment that we currently have. And still to this day, there is no, like, a comprehensive review of the current regulatory environment. So talking about the court, the Māori Land Court, because there's been lots of concerns that they impede utilisation. There's actually no evidence to suggest that they do. Now, I'm not saying they don't. I'm not entirely sure. I can't answer that question. And there have been lots of people that have said maybe you can't even answer that question. But the concern that I had with this reform was that it looked, they basically accepted that there was an impediment to utilisation, and they accepted that that was the court. But there's actually no evidence that that's the case. And so they basically prescribed all these legislative reform to try and attempt to address this. But we're not actually even sure if that's a problem. And so even if the legislation is problematic for reasons that you might not like certain provisions, once you iron all those out, and I feel like a lot of the bill in its current state did iron out a lot of those concerns, even then, is it going to achieve what it's trying to achieve? Only if the underlying assumptions are correct. And I question whether the underlying assumptions are correct, as do many. And if they are incorrect, then it doesn't really matter how good the piece of legislation is. It's not going to achieve what it's aiming to achieve.
Worry Week on The Wire.